Our message this morning is entitled Treasure in Heaven. And I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the greatest sermon that was ever preached in history, I would argue. It was spoken from the lips of God Himself, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And we will go into the heart of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 will be our passage of study here this morning. 1:1:1:7, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and onward. Jesus says the words, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on where?" On where? Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break through and steal." Jesus here is giving financial advice. He's giving investment advice about where we should invest our resources. This is not Fidelity, Edward Jones, or T. Rowe Price. This is the divine blueprint for where we should make our investments. Did you know the Bible gave us financial advice? Here it is. God's financial advice to us. He's talking about investments, and with every investment, there are risks and returns. Those two components are in every investment, risk and return. Jesus is giving us some financial advice, and he starts out by saying, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth." If you're there at the first century, you'd probably be thinking, "Jesus, if we're not going to put it on planet Earth, tell me, please, where I should put it, because that's the only way or the only place, the only means that I can place my resources, planet Earth." This was prior to the time of space travel. NASA was not in existence. Jesus said, "Don't put your treasure on Earth, because if you invest in certain things, the Bible says that moth will destroy it." You ever taken a sweater and placed it in a drawer, forgotten about it, and pulled it out, and it's just eaten with moths? If you invest in anything made of clothing material or cloth, the moths will destroy. Then someone else says, "Oh, I'm not going to invest in fabric. I'm not going to invest in clothes. I'm going to invest in something that moths cannot eat. I'm going to invest in metal." Well, Jesus goes on in his financial advice, "If the moths don't get to it, then rust will destroy." All of the vehicles that are represented here today, in 20, maybe 30 years, mine included, will probably look like this. By the way, a car is not an investment. Amen. The moment you drive it off that lot, it depreciates exponentially in value. And every year, the more miles you place on it, it decreases in value. An investment is something you buy and then it appreciates and gives back more in return. That's why we call it an investment. A car is not an investment. A computer is not an investment. Your phone is not an investment. And some people invest in metal, and Jesus says that if you invest in cloth, moths will destroy. If you invest in metal, rust will destroy. And then someone else says, "You know what? I'm going to invest in something that is so impervious to rust or even to moths. I'm going to invest in something that is so long-lasting, never-changing, perhaps like diamonds." Well, Jesus finishes off his statement and says, "Listen, if the moths don't get it, if the rust doesn't get it, then the thieves will get to it as well." Even if you have electronic investment, we have hackers that can go online and literally drain your assets. There is no security on earth. That is the thesis of what Jesus is saying. You put your investments here on earth, it's too risky. You will not get a good return on your investment because of the high risk. And then Jesus goes on, you know his saying, he says we should place our treasure not on earth, but in heaven. Because in heaven, we don't have these things. We don't have moths that destroy. We don't have rust that destroy. And praise the Lord, when we get to heaven, everyone be honest. Amen. We don't have to lock your cars or your homes anymore. What a relief. Can you imagine going about life not having to always check your back pocket for your wallet? The lack of fear, just with that element alone, just thinking about it. For me, it's liberating. Honesty. Jesus said, make your investment in heaven, not on earth. Our treasure should be in heaven. I'd like to talk a little bit about simple consumer economics for a moment. How many of you like a great deal? I do. I am a deal scavenger. I don't know if that's a proper illustration. But when I walk into a store, I head straight for the sales rack. That's just the way I operate. Right? That's just me. And I take it another step further. I go into a store and I try on a jacket. And I say, this is a great jacket. And then I go home and then I go on eBay and look for a used jacket just like that. And I love a deal. Some people don't like used things, but I don't mind. Now, the composition of a good deal goes like this. You get more in return than what you paid. In other words, the value of it is like this, and then what you gave is something like this. You get more in return than what you put in. Now, a bad deal is the converse. How many of you had a bad deal? You bought something, and then later on you recognize that, oh, you should have bought it somewhere else. I've had that happen before. Buyer's remorse. You buy something, and then you look at the sale that takes place the day after, 50% off, and you're like, oh, and then you look at the fine print, you can't return that item. I mean, talk about the worst thing. I mean, it's just terrible. A bad deal. You bought something that was worth this much, but you paid this much. Consumer economics. But what if you paid for something that cost you dearly? Furthermore, it cost you so much that it changed your life forever. But in your mind, you believe that it was worth it, even if everyone around you thinks you've lost your mind. Have you ever sacrificed for someone? Perhaps it's your children. You've invested in them. You are pouring your life and your resources into them. And everyone around you is thinking like, have you lost your mind? Why are you doing that? But you can't call that a good deal because you've invested dearly. You can't call it a bad deal because the person is worth so much, especially in the eyes of God. What we call it is a worthwhile sacrifice. Isn't that right? A worthwhile sacrifice. The Bible gives an illustration of a treasure that's hidden in a field. A man is plowing in midday. It's not his field, and suddenly his plow hits something that sounds like a rock, but it's a little bit different. And he hits it, and then he stops, he pulls away the dirt, and he sees something that is a little bit like a container, and he pulls it back, and it's a treasure chest. He's digging around. He gets to the bottom of it, opens it up, and it's diamonds, rubies, emeralds, gold. He closes it back up, and then, like I would do, I look around. Isn't that right? You know, all right, nobody saw me. How do you put it down? You cover it back up, stomp on it a little bit, make it look like the rest of the field. You go back home. You say, honey, you got to sell the home. What? We got to sell the furniture too, and your wardrobe, and my wardrobe, my suits. We got to sell everything. Have you lost your mind? Just trust me. I can't even tell you. This is so secret. All right. I'm elaborating a little bit. That's not in the Bible, but you get the point. And he sells everything. It's an open yard sale. He puts everything on the street, and then. And the neighbors are thinking, this man has lost his mind. He's lost his mind. He takes all the money and goes to the owner. He says, I want to buy that field. Oh, why do you want to buy that one? No, trust me, I want to buy that field. He gives all of his earnings to buy that field. And imagine his sentiments. He's not thinking, oh, I've just sold everything. He's thinking, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm rich. Here's a person that gave all. The Bible also tells a story of the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. Same story, same illustration. The merchant is looking all his life for a pearl, and he finds it, and then he sells everything. I was talking this week with a father. Had a lot of good spiritual conversations this week, and he has a son. And he told me, David, I love my boy. I don't think I can even comprehend because I am not a parent, but just thinking about the implications of my own earthly father's love for me, I can catch a glimpse of what he's talking about. He said, David, the entity that I love the most in this world, next to God, my boy. I love my son. And those of you that are parents will recognize that the being that you treasure the most are your children. Isn't that right, Bill? Your children. There's nothing more precious than your children, your son or your daughter. And he even went so far as to say, David, I love my son so much that I would be willing to forfeit my place in heaven. Listen to his words. He said, I'd be willing to forfeit my place in heaven if it meant that my son would be there. That's what he said. I would rather my son to be there than me. A father's love for a son, losing a child is worse than death. And yet, in this passage that we know so well, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, this is the Father, that he gave his only Son. I want you to think about, as parents, you giving your son. This is what the father is thinking. I believe that the father in his own heart, I mean, which was more difficult to do? The son to go and die on Calvary, or for the son, or for the father to go? Or for the father to watch? In this situation, you have the implications here are given that the intimate relationship between God the Father and God the Son, the way that it's described in the Holy Trinity, is the Father, the Son. Jesus, the gift in which all of heaven was poured out. I don't think even the word everything can describe what God gave in his son. What a price. For you know that it was not with perishable things as silver or gold that you were redeemed. Here Peter is saying that we're not bought with silver and gold. If that was possible or probable, even plausible, he would have done it, but he's not bought with silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He says he bought us. This is a divine transaction with his own blood. You were bought at a price. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says, the scene in heaven, and they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. This is the divine price that was paid. Desire of Ages says that God risked everything. He depleted his savings, sold off all his assets, and invested everything to pay the price, and that was for you. I mean, what do you call that? You can't call that a good deal. Because it cost him everything. You can't call it a bad deal because he bought us. And I want you to think about the implications as a father. Jesus hanging upon the cross, crying out to his father, and the father is watching, and every father in this room instinctively knows the feeling of watching their son suffer. What would you do? And God had to watch. I believe that instinctively within the heart of God would have been the sentiments, "How dare you touch my son? How dare you lay a finger on my son's holy head?" And he had to watch. The sentiment that God gave everything doesn't even encompass what the Father gave. All of heaven was poured out. Book of Romans says, God gave his son, how much more will he give us all things? You see, friends, you can see how much God values you by the price he was willing to pay. It changed Jesus' life forever. The Bible says that when he comes in the clouds of glory, he comes as the Son of Man. Did you know that the composition of the Trinity is forever changed? He is human forever. He gave up that aspect of his divinity, omnipresent, and the composition of the very Godhead is changed forever, and he forever will bear the scars in his hand. He gave so much, and his life is forever changed for you and I. And I believe that if there's such a thing as a vault in heaven, which I don't believe there is, but if there was a vault in heaven and you were able to look inside the vault and recognize what heaven treasures most, you would see your picture. You would see your face. Because from heaven's perspective, you were bought at an infinite price. He paid everything. It's you. You're the person that God stays up thinking about. Heaven treasures our people. It's souls. It's not monetary wealth. It's not stocks or bonds. It's not investments. It's people. That's what all of heaven considers priceless because of the price that was paid. And today, God wants us to partner with him in investing in what heaven values most. He says, don't place your treasure here on earth, put it in heaven. Make your investment in the treasury of God. And right now, friends, we have the time and the capability to convert our dollars in the exchange of heaven into souls. Amen. Do you believe that? You have the ability right now with your dollars, with your resources, with your time and energies to convert in the divine exchange of heaven. I don't know how he does it, but you have the ability to convert it into souls. That's what you have. So every time you give to church budget, yes, you don't see an investment. You don't see your portfolio this side of heaven, but you are investing in the exchange of heaven and buying a share of his kingdom. That's what the Bible is telling us, an investment. So that when you get to the kingdom of God, someone will come to you and say, thank you. Thank you for that investment in the kingdom of heaven, because I got a piece of literature that dollar supported, and I read it and I accepted Jesus and I'm here. Thank you. And talk about an eternal return on an investment. Eternal returns. Because friends, we can't take anything to heaven. We can't take our bodies, praise the Lord. We can't take our houses. We can't take our cars. All you can take is you and people. And that person you take throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity will more and more reflect the image of God, and they will always be giving back. an eternal return on investment. Last year, I had the privilege of doing a little bit of traveling. Promise this year will be a lot less. And what I noticed very quickly is that when you travel, there are two things that are very important. What you take with you. Because have you ever gotten to a destination and forgotten to take something? You're going hiking in the Grand Canyon and you forgot your hiking shoes. You brought flops. It dramatically changes the nature of that experience. If you forget something, not only is what you take with you, what things, but the person or persons that you go with dramatically impacts that experience. Jesus says, look, we're on a destination. We're headed to heaven. And guess what? You can't take anything with you. Absolutely nothing. But I want you to enjoy the experience there, so I want you to invest. Amen. I want you to invest in heavenly stock, treasure, people. Because when you get there, I want you to be able to enjoy it to the fullest. An investment that has eternal returns. I was sitting on the plane with a banker on my way back from GYC. Very wealthy man, and he told me, David, I went to a banking conference comprised of individuals that are very wealthy. They take care of their money. And he said, at this conference, the people were talking, and they said, looking at the financial situation that our country is in, they said, we have no hope. These are secular people. They're looking at the finances. They say, there's no hope. They wanted to get out of the banking industry. We have no hope. And this person, being a Christian, he said, there is hope. It's Jesus. But friends, one day, our resources, our bank accounts will not be worth a single thing. And right now, Jesus is saying, the window's open. The exchange is still open. You can still convert your dollars into a heavenly investment. Don't lay it up here. Put it in the bank account of heaven. I want to read this statement as we close. Review and Herald, March 25, 1880. This is talking about soul winning. Here is a work for every one of us to do. Never did I see, listen to this, the sense of the value of souls as I do at the present time. How can we realize the importance of the work of salvation in comparison with the value of a soul? Everything else sinks into insignificance. This world and its treasures, this life and its happiness are of little consequence. And when we compare them with the joy of even one soul eternally saved, one soul eternally saved, the consequence of that, until we have a clear and distinct ideas of that, of what that soul will enjoy when the kingdom of glory comes, until we can fully comprehend the value of that life which measures with the life of God, until we can fully realize the riches of that reward which is laid up for those who overcome and gain the victory, we cannot know the inestimable value of the soul. And she goes on, if I had 1,000 lives, I would devote them all to the service of the Lord. Let us consider, dear friends, what joy unspeakable will fill the hearts in the day of God. Imagine this, standing before God in heaven as we gather around the great right throng. We shall see, you will see the souls saved through our instrumentality. Praise the Lord. Won't that be great? You go up there and you see the person you ministered to, the person that you led to God by the grace of God. See, the soul is saved through our instrumentality with the crown of immortal glory upon their brow. How shall we feel as we look upon that company and see one soul saved through our agency? He has saved others and still others. A large assembly brought into the haven of rest as the result of our labors, there to lay their crowns at the feet of Jesus and to praise Him with immortal tongues throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Talk about a return. An eternal investment. I want to be there. How many of you want to say today, Lord, I want to be there. Amen. I want to be there. But I don't want to be there alone. I mean, what a shame if we're there and our wife isn't there. Our children are not there. Our extended families aren't there. I mean, your neighbors, your co-worker that you bumped into every single day is not there. What a shame. Now we have the opportunity to decide where we're going to be. Jesus says, don't lay it up here on earth. Put it up there. Was it your desire to say, I want to make an investment in heavenly treasure? I want to give my resources and time, energies, so that I can bring as many treasures with me. Is that your desire? Want to raise your hand to God, saying, Lord, that's my desire. Help me. Help me by your grace. Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Oh, Father in heaven, who can estimate the value of a soul? Lord, you paid a price that we cannot even imagine. You gave us everything in that gift of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that you could have given. Help us to recognize our value because of the price that was paid. Help us to recognize the value of even one soul in the eyes of God. Immeasurable price. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to make our investments in the kingdom of heaven, to turn our resources in the divine exchange into heavenly treasures, souls for the kingdom. Help us, Father. Help us to stand there before you on the sea of glass in heaven, rejoicing because our entire family is there. Our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, they are all there because you used us to communicate the love of God. Bless and keep us to that end, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.